Howard, journaliste américain de passage, va découvrir le métier de coxeur, intermédiaire entre le chauffeur, l'apprenti et le passager de car rapide. Le car rapide est un moyen de transport public populaire où se passent des scènes parfois cocasses. Vous entendrez la conversation entre Ndiogu, le coxeur, et le journaliste Edward. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, aux deux phrases que vous allez entendre. 1. Ndiogu est coxeur depuis plus de 10 ans. 2. Ndiogu précisera à Edward combien d'argent il gagne comme coxeur. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Qu'est-ce qu'un coxeur? 2. Depuis quand Ndiogu est-il coxeur? 3. Quelle tâche effectue Ndiogu? Vous entendrez et apprendrez des questions appelées WH questions, essentielles en communication. Nous allons écouter ce couple.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
Okay, then. What's your name?
My name is Ndiogu. They call me Ndiogu Marley in the business.
Like Bob Marley?
You say it, man. See my dreadlocks? I'm a Rasta man and a big fan of Bob Marley.
I see. Tell me, Ndiogu, what's a coxeur?
Someone who coxes a car rapid or a set places.
What's a set places?
It's the smaller vehicle or bush taxi. You know the ones where you get very comfortable with the other riders?
Ah, yes. I know them well. So, how long have you been a coxeur?
For 15 years. I am a senior coxer now. Respect, man.
So what's the job? What do you do as a coxeur?
Coxing, of course. You could say that I am the co-pilot or co-captain. I look out for the driver and make sure that everything goes fine.
Meaning?
Well, I bring in the clients, pay the duty to the policeman, and take care of the excess luggage or animals.
How important is your job?
Very. I am in charge of the overall planning, the management, and the administration, man. Coxing is a matter of high logistics.
How much money do you make?
It's uncountable, but we don't talk money here, man.
Why is that?
You know, man, money likes no eye, no tongue.
Nous avons entendu Edward s'entretenir avec Ndiogu Marley. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. Ndiogu est coxeur depuis plus de 10 ans. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Ndiogu précisera à Edward combien d'argent il gagne comme coxeur. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Qu'est-ce qu'un coxeur pour Ndiogu? Quelqu'un qui coxe un véhicule. 2. Depuis quand Ndiogu est-il coxeur? Depuis 15 ans maintenant. 3. Quel genre de tâches Ndiogu dit-il effectuer? Des tâches de planning, de gestion et d'administration. Écoutez la question avec what.
What's your name?
Le mot what correspond à la question que ou qu'est-ce que en français. Écoutez et répétez aussi ces questions.
What's a coxeur? So what's the job?
Nous avons aussi entendu des questions avec how. Par exemple,
how long have you been a coxeur?
How, suivi de long, exprime la durée d'une action. Écoutez et répétez ces questions.
How important is your job? How much money do you make?
How, suivi de much, exprime une quantité indéterminée. nous avons découvert un métier pas comme les autres, celui de coxeur, et un coxeur pas comme les autres, Ndiogou Marley. Vous avez répondu vrai ou faux à des énoncés et ensuite répondu à des questions. Vous avez enfin appris à poser des questions essentielles avec « what » et avec « how ». Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site Internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Deux questions d'étiquette dans le milieu des affaires. Première question, les Américains dans les milieux d'affaires utilisent-ils leur prénom ou leur nom de famille?
Do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
First name, c'est le prénom. My first name is Michel. Last name, nom de famille. My last name is Joseph. What is your first name? Quel est votre prénom? À vous de me répondre. What is your first name? What is your last name? Quel est votre nom de famille? Répondez-moi. What is your last name? Comme vous allez entendre, pour Gary, c'est une question difficile.
This is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you.
This is a difficult question. C'est une question difficile. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. Pour être sûr de ne pas faire une gaffe, to be safe, donnez-lui le nom qu'il ou elle se donne, le prénom ou le nom de famille. Gary dit, quand il se présente, Please, call me Gary. Veuillez m'appeler Gary. Please, call me Gary. C'est ainsi que vous donnez la permission à l'autre personne de vous appeler d'une certaine façon. Écoutons la conversation qui suit à propos de la première question.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. Our listeners have sent in some email questions, Gary. Our first question is, do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
Well, this is a difficult question. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. I always say, please call me Gary.
Gary dit, I always say, je dis toujours, always. I always say, please call me Gary. Littéralement, s'il vous plaît, s'il te plaît, appelle-moi Gary. Appelle-moi Gary. Please call me Miss Joseph. Please call me Mrs. Joseph. Ce qui nous amène à la prochaine question d'étiquette. Elizabeth demande à Gary, When speaking with women in business, quand on parle à des femmes dans un contexte d'affaires ou professionnel,
When speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms?
When should we use, quand doit-on se servir de? When should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms? Miss, mademoiselle, ou, comme le dit Gary, for single women, pour les femmes célibataires. Single women, les femmes célibataires, Miss. Ou bien, Mrs., Madame, for married women, pour les femmes mariées, for married women.
Well, Miss is for single women, Mrs. is for married women.
Ou encore, Ms., un mot nouveau qui est neutre
et n'implique pas le statut de célibataire ou de marié à la femme en question.
Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married.
Écoutez la conversation qui suit.
Our next question is, when speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs. or Ms.?
Well, Miss is for single women, Mrs. is for married women. Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married. I always use Ms. because with Ms. I usually don't offend people.
What do most American women in business prefer?
I believe that most American women prefer Ms.
Thank you, Gary.
Finissez la phrase. Vous allez entendre le début et vous devez terminer la phrase. Écoutez et finissez la phrase.
Some people use their first name in business, but others prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
They prefer to use their last name.
Le nom de famille.
Most American women prefer to be addressed as Ms. They prefer to be addressed as Ms.
Ms, c'est neutre.
In the past, people used to address all married women as Mrs.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Au cours de la leçon suivante, Martin Lerner va visiter un nouveau centre commercial, une grande surface qui abrite toutes sortes de magasins. C'est ce qu'on appelle aux États-Unis « the mall ». C'est une sorte d'immense galerie marchande. Parmi les magasins, il y a souvent des restaurants et plusieurs salles de cinéma. Ils donnent tous sur de vastes couloirs où circulent des gens. Une partie de ce mall a déjà été bâtie et le reste est en pleine construction. Martin Lerner va s'informer des différents magasins avant d'entrer avec lui dans le centre commercial The Mall. Écoutez un peu ces mots. Shop, un magasin. Store, un magasin. A bicycle shop, un magasin de bicyclettes. A gift shop, une boutique de cadeaux. A shoe store, un magasin de chaussures. Show me the shop, montrez-moi le magasin. Show me the restaurant. Montrez-moi le restaurant. Show me the sports club. Montrez-moi le club sportif.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you this morning?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
What's that?
It's the plan.
What plan?
Well, for the new building. Look.
It's interesting. What's that?
Shops. There are 10 shops.
What's that?
It's the cinema.
Show me the restaurants.
Well, look here. There are 3 restaurants.
Show me the sports club.
Look here.
Pouvez-vous poser cette question? What's that? Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça? Posez la question et quelqu'un vous répondra. Par exemple, what's that? It's the plan.
It's the plan. Shops. It's the cinema. It's a restaurant. It's the sports club.
Essayez d'apprendre de nouveaux mots anglais en demandant « What's that ?» Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça ? Montrez du doigt les objets dont vous voulez savoir le nom et écrivez les nouveaux mots en anglais, si vous le pouvez, dans un carnet et ensuite étudiez-les plus tard.
Martin Lerner is coming this morning.
Martin Lerner?
He's a reporter.
Oh, yes. He's a reporter for The Voice of America.
Yes.
Please come in, Mr. Lerner.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff O'Neill. I'm the director of the shopping mall. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Please sit down. Coffee?
No, thanks.
Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
I lived in Maryland. How can I help you?
Tell me about the shopping mall.
Look here.
What's that?
It's the plan for the new building.
Show me the old building.
Well, here is the old building. Here's the new building.
What's that?
It's the cinema.
Show me the shops.
Here is a shoe store. Here is a bicycle shop. Here is a gift shop. Here is a clothing store. There are 10 shops.
What's that?
It's the sports club.
What's that?
It's a restaurant. There are 3 restaurants.
Show me.
Here is a restaurant. Here is a restaurant. And here is a restaurant.
On se sert du mot anglais here, voici, pour indiquer quelque chose de tout proche. En étudiant le plan du centre commercial, the mall, Jeff O'Neill dit Here's a shoe store. Voici un magasin de chaussures, ce qui veut dire il est tout juste ici. Tout près. Répétez ces phrases après Jeff.
Here is a shoe store. Here is a bicycle shop. Here is a gift shop. Here is a clothing store. Here is a restaurant.
Please show me the shopping mall.
Come with me. First, we're going to look at the new building.
Les noms. Bicycle. Bicyclette. Bookstore. Librairie. Cinema. Cinéma. Clothing. Vêtements. Gift. Cadeau. Jewelry. Bijoux. Hardware. Quincaillerie. Music. Musique. Photo. Photo. Restaurant. Restaurant. Shoe, chaussure. Shop, boutique. Ou store, magasin. Club, un club. Par exemple, sports club, un club sportif. Pet, un petit animal domestique. Pet. D'autres mots, les mots de métier. Carpenter, painter, musician, worker, gardener, director, reporter. A cat, un chat, dog, chien, door, une porte, entrance, entrée, exit, sortie, floor, plancher, garden, jardin, mall, galerie, plan, un plan, shelf, étagère, et au pluriel, shelves, window, fenêtre. Revenons sur les professions. Carpenter, charpentier, painter, un peintre, worker, un travailleur ou un laboureur. Gardener, jardinier. Director, directeur. Musicien, musician, musicien. Reporter, un journaliste. Les adjectifs, new, new building,
nouveau. Old, old building, vieux. Large, grand. Large window. Expression telle que shopping, faire des courses. To go shopping. A shopping mall, une galerie marchande. Les verbes. Buy, acheter. He's buying a dog. Il achète un chien. Clean, nettoyer. He's cleaning the floor. Make, fabriquer. We're making 12 windows. Play, jouer. Paint, peindre. Take, prendre. We are, en contraction, we're. Revoyons rapidement le verbe être et la conjugaison avec les contractions. I'm, you're, he's, she's, we're, you're, they're. Des questions telles que who are they? Qui sont-ils? What are you doing? Que faites-vous? Ou que fais-tu? Le temps présent des verbes, surtout les verbes actifs, le verbe finit avec ing, ing. Par exemple, le verbe actif to build, construire ou bâtir. I'm building a store. Je suis en train de bâtir. Et c'est une activité qui se poursuit. I'm painting. Je suis en train de peindre. I'm painting the shelf. Je peins l'étagère. Expression utile. How can I help you? Comment puis-je vous aider? Puis-je vous être utile? Puis-je vous rendre service? How can I help you?
Hello and welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph and I have with me...
Daniel Grafton.
And you can find us on Facebook, sur Facebook Anglais Télé. Vous pouvez nous retrouver sur Facebook Anglais Télé. Today we're going to look at the five senses. How should we define senses, Dan, just before we start looking at them all?
How we sense the world.
How we sense the world, that means how we see.
Feel, hear, touch, and taste.
Exactly, wow, okay. So these are the five ones that are, of course, manifest physically,
right? That's right? The easiest way to put it.
Because there are some senses that are invisible, I believe. But we're not going to go there because that's a bit complicated. We're going to deal with the five senses that we can actually, you know...
Explain.
Explain. The others we cannot explain. So I'm going to start with sight, Dan.
Right.
Which, of course, for our listeners, sight, it comes from the eyes and it comes from the verb to see, voir, la vue. So sight...
Right.
What do you think about sight, Dan? Do you see me?
I do, and it makes me feel really good to see you.
Okay, and I see you too.
And that's what sight does. It makes people experience the person in front of them.
Okay, so of course...
What's going on around them.
All around us.
Right.
Sight, I mean, what we see with our eyes, it's indescribable, you know. And when people cannot see, what do you call those...
Blind.
So when
aveugle.
Aveugle. So if you can't see, you are blind. But if you can see, it's a blessing. Sometimes we need help to see. And I think you and I are wearing help here.
We're both wearing
we
help,
We are
yes.
wearing glasses. On
I can't
des
even
lunettes.
See the pictures here without the help.
And the glasses help improve our sight. To
right.
improve means to better. We see better with the glasses on. Okay, so what goes along with seeing, Dan? There are some other verbs that are similar that have to do with sight.
Well, looking at people.
Watching and looking, to watch and to look.
Look at a sports event. Look at
watching
soccer.
TV.
Yeah, watch TV.
And, you know, just all of this is part of seeing.
Watch people on the street.
Yes, people love people watching or...
Oh, yeah, I love to people watch.
So this is all about sight. Anything else you can add about sight?
It's important.
Sight is important. It's huge. And, you know, when they say sight unseen, what does that mean?
Sight unseen. Maybe it's like a... ESP or something, I don't know.
We don't know.
No.
But anyway, for all of us who have sight, and some of us need improved sight, we wear glasses.
Glasses.
Well, good luck to us who can see, and that's it. We share something wonderful, those who have sight.
We see the mountains and the sky and the grass. And
nature.
And the streams and the mountains and...
People, beautiful... Sights, you know, thank God for sight. All right, that leaves us with sight, and we are going to go to another sense, again with Dan. See you in a few minutes for the next sense. Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. Je m'appelle Michelle Joseph. I'm Michelle Joseph. And I have with me...
Daniel Crafton. And today I think we have some very interesting topics to talk about.
Oh, definitely. Because we are talking about the senses without which we would have a difficult time just kind of orienting ourselves and getting around. And being happy human beings.
Right, these are very happy things.
Yes, very happy. And I see that we have put down hearing.
One of my favorites.
Hearing is just indescribable because hearing is to do with the ears, right?
Great music.
Great music. He's going to music, but I'm talking about essentials here. It's not just about music. With hearing, which is the sense of hearing, we have the verb to hear.
Right.
We have the verb to listen.
Right.
And what is associated with hearing, Dan?
Hearing everything around us, the birds in the trees.
The birds in the trees, okay. Right. These are sounds, right?
And people playing music on the street.
Yes.
And or in a concert.
Music can be loud. That's something that you can qualify music for. Loud, it can be loud.
Or soft.
Or soft. Okay.
But it can always be beautiful or not.
Oh, music is absolutely beautiful. And I think just voices are also beautiful.
Certain voices.
Certain voices are beautiful. And this is all a part of hearing. And when a person cannot hear, they are...
deaf.
Deaf. So a person who cannot hear is a deaf person, or you call them a non-hearing person.
What a shame.
It is a loss if you cannot hear.
Because the world is full of sounds, Michelle.
Yes. And of course, people who cannot hear have probably alternate ways of, you know, their senses are going to compensate for that lack of hearing.
The eyes will compensate, touch will compensate.
Exactly.
For that.
But hearing and ears are absolutely precious, and we're very thankful for them, those of us who have hearing. All right, so we'll leave you there with hearing. Let me put my ears back on, and we'll get back to you for the next sense.